This is down to brass tacks. Hello? Good morning.
Hello.
Yes, you're on the air.
Morning, Mr. Ellis.
Yes, hi.
You hear me clear this morning?
Yes, I can.
Yeah, morning. You tell me you hear a buzz, but I don't know if that was the beehive next door to me, but I've gone. I agree with Glenn. Contributor earlier on said something about pest treatment. I think it should be extended to rat baiting. I would like to take my hat off to the Barbados Water Authority and the work that they've been doing in these times. But it shouldn't go without some observation. I noticed three youngsters in the cab. You know, there's the driver and then the cab behind. Talking, one was eating, close proximity. Not good enough. The number, I would also like to know, I tried to get this to Mr. Halliday the other day, that's his name, huh?
Yeah.
To find out the number of gallons or meters cube of water used at the peak or delivered to the cruise ship at the peak of the cruise season. I would also like to know the recommended safety time period between the restoration of water service after a mains or a big pipe burst and drinking water. In terms of the SSA, some observations. I'm not satisfied with the PPE, the protection that the sanitation workers, especially those who are behind the truck, the amount that they're cladded with. I think they should have somewhere, if they work in an 8-9 hour shift, they should have about 3 to 4 masks. And they should take a break every 3 hours, travel with a couple bottles of water, some sanitizing solution. And I do not mean hand sanitizer. I mean something like Savlon or Hibby Scrub, not advertising for anybody. Each worker should be also outfitted with a visor. Okay? And the kind of protective wear like a poncho, which covers his clothes. And I would also like, these are, I know Mr. Padmore listens every day. And I would also like to know if any of the garments, be it a hat or what, or a tam, that is worn to work, also goes back home. Another question which I have here is this goes now to the to small shopkeepers. I find that patrons are disrespecting the small shopkeepers. They're going into their establishments without the correct safe wear. That is an insult and it is an injury. And not only that, I saw sales staff from a very big food conglomerate going into a small establishment, neither of the fellas wearing their protection. They would never do that at a big establishment. I would also like to give high praise to the postal workers. They should be applauded at 3 o'clock as well as the Water Authority, as well as the same small shopkeepers. Now, the thing about these, you know, not too long ago, you had people saying we should privatize the post, the CPO. Well, it is now a good chance to evaluate the service of the CPO. In big America, Mr. Ellis, some 160 million deliveries are made by the GPO, or the equivalent, right across the U.S. And right now, they're handling some 70 million paper checks. And finally, as my parting shot, I could see this COVID developing much along from what my research has done. I wasn't born yet. My research on tuberculosis, which old Bajans call consumption, I could see that families of these sufferers, the time will come that they'll be sidelined and you wouldn't want your children to play with them. And moreover, I think the same therapeutic approach that was followed with the TB in the early days is going to be followed in the COVID.
Thank you, sir. Down to brass tacks. Hello. Good morning.
I was trying to reach you from last week, Mr. Ellis.
Yes.
Last Friday.
Why?
I had a situation last Friday morning. I went to the ATM to withdraw some money. And when you hear me?
Yes.
When I withdraw the money, before the money came out, the electricity shut down. And the machine shut down. I went back to my chair. I was waiting there for a couple of minutes, and nothing came out. I went back to my chair, and I sat and was waiting for the current come back on. Not knowing that the money went through, and when the machine shut down, the money was in the machine. And when the current come back on, so other people went inside there. Someone went in before I get back in there and they received the money. But I reported to the police. The police is investigating it, and I reported to the bank. So I just called with money that, you know, it was real. Whoever, you know, received that money would know that it's being investigated because the bank machine having cameras. And it's being investigated. So I would hope that they would be honest enough before the police, I think, you know, get on to be able to hand back in that money.
All right, sir. This is Down to Brass Tacks, the Monday edition. Hello.
Good morning.
Yes, morning.
Oh, okay, good. I wasn't sure whether it was on or not. I was just listening to the CBC station. I hope you can allow me to say a few minutes something on it, right?
CBC station? You mean the radio station? TV
yes,
station?
Yes, the radio station. Sorry, QFM.
So why would something on QFM be relevant to us? What's what they're talking about that is so important to raise it with us rather than with them?
Well, one thing, I don't know the numbers. I would have to look it up, right? And I remembered 434-1790, so I called that.
All right, well, let me hear what it is then.
Right, okay. So one of the things that was said by one of the two presenters, right, is that this situation has, and as we all know, has never been here before. So everybody's trying their best to do what it is they have to do, right? And somebody called in with a comment that was not appreciated by the announcers, and both of them stomped on her face. Now, I really believe that we're all trying to do what we have to do. And one of the one thing for me, the one thing that will get us beyond today, right, is if we love one another with all the passion that we could possibly.
Yeah, but if in the judgment of the two people, the person was off base and they decided that they were going to be critical of the remark that they made, I can't really get into that because I don't even know exactly what was said.
I'm not sharing the details either.
So yeah,
I'm
but you are you are.
Principle. I'm speaking to a principal, David.
We are speaking to the principal in the context of having said that these people effectively didn't show the love that you expect. Agree?
No, that's not what I said. That's what you are saying. What I said was that they stomped all over her face.
Yes.
Right.
And I ain't showing love.
It is not.
Okay.
It's not. I guess what it is I'm asking for, right? None of us can react the way we have been reacting for the last gazillion years, right? Including me. So maybe I'm reacting the way how I normally react by making a critique, right? But I want to do more than make a critique. I want to ask people who hold organs of voice to find whatever, go to whatever place you need to go to diffuse a critique that you do not agree with. rather than stomp all over the body face, right? The lady is one who calls in all the time to that station.
But you know, you're asking me to breach something that I really don't, I try not to breach. And it is this, not even with the people who moderate Brass Tacks programs, do I like to indulge in criticizing people behind their backs. I always say to you, look, if you heard something from a caller, from a moderator here, and you didn't like it, I would encourage you to talk to the moderator directly rather than come and use another program to do it. Now, far from using another program, there's another radio station that is being used to critique them. I got to be fair to the people. Your interpretation of stomping all over the woman's face may or may not accord with what I interpret to be bad treatment of the person. So I'm at a disadvantage, and that's why I don't really encourage trying to defend somebody else in these circumstances. I honestly would prefer that be taken up with the people at CBC. They must give you an opportunity to speak, and I think, I can't remember the number offhand right now, but give them a call and see if you can raise it with them, because it puts them in a position then to be able to defend their own position as well, you know? We gotta go, thank you. Down to Brass Tacks, hello.
Good morning.
It's 11:17. Good morning.
Mr. Harris.
Yes, sir.
I got two complaints to make to you. My daughter have a house and rent some foreign people in it. And from the time that they hear about this thing, but you got a hold of the tenant and thing to start from paying she rent for the house and making all kind of excuses. She calls you this morning and asks she. And she got the rent money. The woman started cursing very bad. I turn on it and call she. And I tell the woman, she started cursing me. It ain't that, Mr. It's the people that who got the money if they can't pay the renters. All pay the some of the money and don't come up with a tragedy. Nobody shouldn't be owing people's money. My daughter don't work no there. She the working with tourism and that's struck down. Any woman that won't give you the money at all, come about excuse.
Well, I think you said it all. It may be difficult for people, but those who are functioning as tenants should really do the best that they can to at least give some of the money. Especially, you have so many situations where people are depending upon that money for their own livelihood. You know, so many people, especially people on fixed incomes, decide that they're going to build house and buy house and that sort of thing, and then live off of that income in their latter years. And it is exceedingly difficult. There are two sides to this story. There are those who have been laid off and are having hard times. And then there are the other people who need that income to survive.
Yeah, but Mr. Ellis, she needs to survive too, cause she ain't working a bit.
That's the point I was making. I understand that.
I got a rent in my house for almost 20 years, Mr. Ellis. And this man is paying me my rent. And when you say the money I come to thank you, he's calling me and tell me, Mr. Ellis, your money, I can bring your money later on for you. I mean, he's lived very good.
Yeah. That was one point. Was there another?
Water Authority, Mr. Ellis, won't get the right people to do the work. I don't know what is always changing them out. They got places that I had six men that come here to me and tell me, Winston, we could do the job. But each time they're taking them, yeah, Mr. Ellis, you know, none they're calling you. They just say, oh, we can call you, but you never hear from the big people. They're shifting all the time. And then over part of the pipes go down. No, they don't want nobody to tell them what parts the pipe go on.
Water Authority has been a problem child among statutory corporations for years. And the more things change, the more they remain the same. Yeah. You know, they were seen for years as an essential service. And Some with that, there is sometimes, not all the time, but there is sometimes an attitude because people feel powerful. Everybody else has to depend upon them. This is Down to Brass Tacks.
Good morning.
Hey, morning.
Hi, morning. I have an assessment of what's going on in Barbados right now, especially with the BRA. I have some serious issues with the government issuing a deadline date in connection with the BRA. There's no problem with people having to file for the taxes, which is true. But the site, Thomas, is giving so much problems now that so much business are having issues with getting on to the site of itself to file for the taxes. And as we know, when it comes around to tax paying time, a lot of Barbadians actually go into Barbados due to the fact they have situations where, whether it be computers or whether or not the site is not working as it's supposed to be working. Right now, I've been trying for the last up the top of April, trying to get my information to file for my taxes. My employer already updated it. I called the accounts department. They said it has been updated, but there's serious challenges with Thomas. My problem is that I think the government of Barbados needs to waive this deadline that they're coming up telling Barbados, because it does not make any sense.
Which deadline? Which
May the 29th. To spoil for your tax, spoil your taxes.
So you mean the extension that they've given you is not good enough?
No, because most patients now, I've been trying for the upcoming time to get my information, not my information, but to upload onto the Thomas site, but my boss and all is having issues with it. I cannot see it being rectified with the hotel on a shutdown as it is now. But most people physically have to go into the office and get it rectified. I had to do it last year, and it's coming back around this year again, even worse because everybody's home now and people are trying. Everybody's trying, but I can't see it being resolved if the country shut down. BRA is shut down right now. It's present moment. Probably have a few people in the office answering the calls, but they're probably being flooded right now at this present moment with questions on the site of itself. But issuing a deadline date to me is irrelevant right now at this point because I can't get on. I'm trying for the longest time, and all the system is telling me one thing. Call my account department. Then she's telling me, well, the site is giving you bad tallies. One time you go on to get one tally, it tallies back another tally. So I would like somebody from the BRA at least come from Brassac and tell us what's going on with that situation.
Okay.
Because the deadline is also, you can always issue a deadline, but if you're the policies or whatever you have in place pertaining to the servers or whatever with the Thomas isn't working properly, it is irrelevant right now at this present moment because everybody's going to have challenges. An influx of Barbados not filing for the taxes due to the fact they cannot get onto the site.
And this it impacts on people who are paying VAT and all of that too. It's not just
correct.
The people who are dealing with the...
So BRA needs somebody to come on and talk about this kind of thing, what's going on with it, if it's working properly or whatnot.
Some people say it's working, but it's working very slowly.
I think too, it's working slow as well. But then sometimes they have situations where when the information is put through and you submit it for the last, they say the amount is not valid or whatever. That's what I'm getting now.
Yeah.
I talked to my employer, the head accountant. They said there's serious challenges with it.
Okay. Thank you very much for drawing it to national attention. We did discuss this last week as well. Someone wanted to find out what are the COVID figures for some other countries in the Caribbean. The Dominican Republic has 6,135 cases, confirmed cases, and they have 278 deaths. That's the Dominican Republic. I think the person also wanted to find out what's the situation in Cuba. Cuba has 54 deaths and 1,369 cases. So there was one other place that I think they wanted to get something on, but I'll share that with you as we go along. Down to Brass Tacks. Hello.
Hello, good morning, Mr. David.
Hi, morning.
I just want to ask a question concerning when will we able to start working again?
Listen, in the United States, there is a fellow called Dr. Fauci, and the way he put it was that the virus determines what happens.
Mm-hmm.
So if you have a situation where you are uncertain, for instance, about how many people are asymptomatic out there in the community, and you continue to have a case here and a case there, then you are going to be cautious. Of course, you know full well that there are some places where people are pushing as hard as they can for the reopening of business, and they're asserting that people are fully conscious of the need for physical distancing, and it can be done, but people are also very concerned about that.
Why you say that, Mr. David, is that I'm a self-employed, okay?
Yes.
And for the last 6 weeks, no money has come into my hands, and I just cannot go, just keep giving and giving, spending here and spending there, because I don't have any more. Mr. David, is a serious thing right now, if you realize, because, for instance, nobody haven't said anything concerning those persons like myself who have to pay child support. Where am I going to get the money from, Mr. David?
Mm-hmm.
Mr. David, my children have to eat. Where am I going to get the money from? Mr. David, let me just show something to you. I'm not knocking you. I'm not knocking nobody. But today is the 27th, I think. Maybe the
20th. Yes,
maybe.
Is it 27th?
27th, good. Mr. David, those persons who are on the front line, they get paid. Whether you be a police officer, fire officer, whatever it is, Mr. David, they get paid. Even unto the ministers, they get paid. Mr. David, I ain't get paid yet.
Okay. So in those circumstances, recognizing the fears that people have about reopening business, what would you recommend?
Mr. David, let me put it this way. For instance, we all got to come to a realization that this disease is here to stay. We cannot get rid of it. We will put things in place to try our best to keep it at a distance. But, Mr. David, we still can't go too much left or too far right.
And in the case of Barbados, there has been some easing, some relaxation. But you want people who are self-employed to be able to go and do their business, whether it's cutting grass or functioning as in some other capacity. You feel that it should be opened up. Specifically...
Yeah,
you feel
perfectly.
Yeah, and you feel that people are going to function with the kind of caution that is required?
Yes, Mr. David, because for instance, I just want to draw a reference. This is on my part. I invest because my trade, I'm a joiner. Mr. David, when I go and do work for persons, I do not collect any advance. I write up the materialist, this is what you're going to get. So you can able to start the work, and if so be the case, if I need to get something more, it's going to be on me. Because certain things, as a joiner, you need to get it for yourself. So I do not collect advance. I like to, when I finish my work, I get paid. So I don't come to you for no money, no advance. You understand me? So if I invest in something, at least I can look in, when it's time for me to get my money, I get it. Mr. David, this country shut down when I was 3/4. Finishing my work. My work closed. 6 weeks now, I ain't got no money. And Mr. David, even said the country open tomorrow, I still have to put in about 3 weeks before I'm able to get some money. Mr. David, my children got to eat.
Well, I believe that the people who have to make the decisions would be weighing all of this information in trying to determine when is best for us to reopen the country. But you know, the other side of that is that you're trying to minimize deaths. You're also trying your best to make sure that the health facilities of this country are not overwhelmed to the point where people who are non-COVID cannot get the kind of treatment that is required. Indeed, right now it would be interesting to find out the extent to which some medical professionals might have reduced their work because of fear of COVID. I mean, I'm hearing, for instance, that people who are specialists in the area of ear, nose, and throat, they have been identified outside of Barbados, in Wuhan, and in other parts of the world as being high risk. And as a result of that, they have decided that they don't want to be exposed to that particular risk. When we talk about the other side of this, you're not really hearing what is happening there. You know, so I can say to you that one of the people who's a member of our team said to us over the weekend that his mother has lost her sight because she was attending sessions at the clinic, and it is true that he says she's a diabetic. She was attending these sessions, felt that things were improving somewhat, and then the sessions were canceled because of COVID. So there is another dimension to all of this that is being lost. It's not even being discussed, you know, because the focus is so much on the COVID component. But if you throw so many, and you're forced to throw so many resources behind COVID, then what is the fallout? What is the effect that is likely to have on other people? Okay. This person says here that basically I have a family member who is on one of the ships docked in the port or off the port. The individual is not Barbadian, but is coming from another CARICOM territory. However, I am willing to accept him since he has been tested for the coronavirus and is negative. If possible, can he come on island and stay with us as Barbadian family members once he's been given permission by his employer? Can someone address this particular issue? Well, I'll ask a question on that, see what kind of answer we get. Dr. Brastax, hello?
Hello.
Hi.
Hi. Yeah, I didn't realize it was the next person. How are you doing?
I'm well, and you?
Yeah, not too bad. I just want to ask you a question. How long do you think the economy can survive this lockdown?
I don't know. I think it's urgent that we address it. But the other big problem you face is how much of your economy is tourism dependent. And even if you open up the economy from a local perspective, the international economy is not reopened yet.
You're right about that.
So
sorry, go ahead.
I was
just saying, I think the shutdown is, the impact of against the economy that's going to be as a result of the shutdown is going to be far worse than the coronavirus ever has been. If 98% of people recover, or 95%, whatever number you want, you would recover from coronavirus. A very small percentage, not that they're unimportant, a very small percentage actually succumb to it. But there are going to be millions and millions and millions of people that are going to be out of work.
That is correct.
They're going to be destruction. They're going to be fighting. They're going to be shooting. Well,
why, seriously, though, you really believe that that is the only response that human beings will give to the crisis?
No. I know, but when people get desperate, and when they're hungry.
But people also get creative.
Some will.
And in this environment, I've been hearing about people who have been sharing out hampers and that sort of thing. Not only politicians, all right?
Yeah.
Because the heart of man is not always hard.
Yeah.
And in all of this, there is the potential to have a far more positive response. The international community recognizes this or like now. I mean, multilateral agencies have been talking about trying to give greater support and that sort of thing. But even within countries, one of the major challenges we face, sir, I think, is that there are a lot of things that we were talking about. We were saying that we need to do this and we need to do that to improve efficiency, to make the country more productive. And one response is to work on those things, to put them on the front burner. But yeah, we need to live with a high degree of hope. And we have to put our faith in our combined ability to respond to this crisis. Our forefathers had crises before them, and they worked. I saw material about what happened in 1854 when there was a cholera outbreak in the country and how people lived in those circumstances. Uh-huh. And arising from that, they set up a special commission that looked at the conditions under which Barbadians lived back then. And recommendations were made, and some improvements were made. Not as many as we required at the time. But then there was the 1937 situation, another commission set up, changes made. Sometimes, you know, crises of this nature help to push us in a direction that we needed to go much faster. So
I hope you're right.
Well, I'm looking at it from both sides. I think there are people who are going to do things the wrong way. But I think most of us, as we see at night, when you look at the streets, how many people are off the streets now.
Yeah.
You know, we are responding as a nation in a mature and responsible way.
But don't forget, this is still early. I mean, if a couple of more weeks pass and everywhere remains locked down and stuff, there's so many people that have not been paid for such a long time. So
yes.
Have been unemployed. So many people are not going to be able to pay things. There's going to be a ripple effect. And it's not
yes.
yet happened. It's not. It's like there's been an earthquake in the sea, and the tidal wave coming ashore. It's not yet got here. So the sun's still shining, and people still running around.
Agreed.
But when it's on its way, right? Mm-hmm. Because you consider that millions of people have been unemployed in the United States. They can't pay the mortgage. They can't pay the car. They can't buy food. They can't buy anything. So they're not going to shut down other things. The guy from Expedia, the boss of Expedia, said the other day on CNBC that they spend $5 billion in advertising a year, and they're not even going to spend $1 billion. So take that $1 billion from Google and from Facebook and from whoever. They're going to lay off people. So there are ripple effects. So it's not yet happening yet. It's not affected us. But the longer we remain shut down, the worse the impact going to be. And I can't see why people were shut down for a virus. I'm not underestimating any virus, but I think it's been blown out of proportion, right, by a lot. Because the number of people that have recovered from it, so far away the death by a huge number. And also, the number of people that actually die from it, from what I've been hearing, is that if you get hit by a truck, isn't that exaggerated? But if you get hit by a truck, are you going to ICU? Are you test positive for coronavirus?
So you really believe... let me seriously. I mean... Mm-hmm. I've looked at Italy.
Right?
I have looked at Italy. I've looked at Spain. Yeah. I've looked at New York City. The number of people who've died from COVID, it is not the norm to have refrigerated.
It
is not the norm to have refrigerated trucks outside hospitals in the United States.
Well, that's true.
For the dead.
My brother's a doctor in New York, and he told me it's so terrible in the Bronx.
Precisely.
Is horrible. There's no question about it. He said it's
all right.
His body's terrible.
So those people who are trying to, this argument about it is no different from the flu. I thought we passed that a long time.
Well, I heard Illinois, I can't remember, some health official in Illinois was saying that if you die with COVID, you're listed as a COVID death. Even if you have another something else killed you, if you had a heart attack, you had COVID, you're listed as COVID. So, but my point is this, there are much worse things to come if we keep the economy locked than if people of 2% or 1% succumb to the illness. Because, people are going to die. At the end of the day, people are
going to
die.
My friend, it is more than that. It is...
But suppose next year we have a COVID-20. We're going to shut down again? Suppose about COVID-21 next year.
Well, chances are that our response this time would help inform how we would respond the next time.
Yeah.
But right now, it is novel. That's what they call it.
Novel
coronavirus. It is novel. And therefore, we are trying our best to learn how we must respond to it. But I'll say this to you.
Yeah.
It is all well and good to talk about the people who recover. But I have spoken to people who recovered, and what they're saying to me is that all they know, it has impacted on their bodies in ways that they didn't understand. I mean, I remember having that mosquito-borne disease that left your joints hurting very badly and that sort of thing. And you know that there were people years after who were complaining about those ailments as well. So there is an unknown about the coronavirus that you need to be careful with. Now, 2 weeks ago, I heard the governor of New York City telling people, well, you know, if you have recovered, it means that you can go back to work. You won't get it again. And now the World Health Organization says a few days ago, that ain't so.
Yeah.
You know, so let us remember this in all the calls that you people make to you're looking at the other side, but there is the death component of it, and then it is the pain associated with it, even though you have recovered.
Yeah. But the focus should be on, I think, the focus should be on protecting the vulnerable. Like, for instance, I don't know how many people are vulnerable, but maybe a huge number of people in Barbados are vulnerable. But if all these empty hotels, we could put elderly people or who could stay at home, focus on protecting the elderly. Because now, even you, I heard they're talking about ramping up testing. Suppose you test 10,000 people, they still got 280,000 untested. Many of them could have corona, so they could still go and spread it. Many people are asymptomatic. So you can never catch all of it. So what's the point of even locking up and testing up and checking out? You should focus on the vulnerable, lock up and isolate the vulnerable. You know, you could protect
the immune system. Why don't you look at countries that have been successful in keeping the numbers down?
Look at Sweden. They never close, and their numbers are no blocked.
Look at South Korea. Look at South Korea as an example. Because this, as I understand it, is the real acid test of this disease. If you decide that you are going to reopen, but you haven't been able to test your population, then you are exposing yourself to a significant possibility.
So how many are we going to tell them? How many can we eat realistically?
I don't know. You see, as far as I'm concerned, that is one of the big questions that must be answered by the health officials.
Yeah, I've heard doctors say that if you stay inside and you lifestyle down and wipe down and you never catch any germs, you never get exposed to any bacteria, when you come back out into the open, you can definitely get sick. So we can have a situation where everybody's staying inside for a couple of weeks or a couple of months or whatever, and the wrap up in cotton wool. Mm-hmm. And then when they come back out, the whole world, all the birds in the world hit them one time, and then you can see a numerous number of people get sick. I can't see any real benefit in
but
I think you're vulnerable.
But I think that you have. I hear your perspective on this. I think we have examples of what can happen. What has happened in New York, Italy, and Spain in particular, three.
Are you aware that 40,000 people in Italy die every year without corona? 40,000 people die in Italy every year. Now, let's say there were no corona.
That's 40,000 per year normally, plus the thousands that have now died with corona.
Well, maybe plus. Somebody 40,000 had corona too.
All right. We have to watch, for instance, what's happening in Jamaica. Jamaica has had over 300 cases now. Let me see what the latest figure is from them. But it is about 300 and... Let's see, Jamaica. Just can't find it. Oh, 350. Okay. 350.
All right. Fortunately,
they have had only 7 fatalities so far.
Okay.
All right.
That's very small.
But what has happened is that there has been a considerable leap in their numbers coming out of the mistakes that were made at the call center.
A considerable leap in number of cases.
In number of cases, yes. Yes.
Okay.
All right.
So maybe if you test more, if you do more widespread tests, you're going to get more cases. If you test 100,000
people, quite possible.
You can get a massive...
That's possible.
But you can't quarantine all of them. You can't lock up everybody. You can't shut down everything. I think you got to balance it. See? That's my opinion. I mean, and I think the economic destruction will be so incredible. People don't look at that. It's never happened in our lifetime before. But it's going to be worse, in my opinion, than the coronavirus ever could. The 2% died, God bless his soul, and nothing not important. But it's still got balance. you know, everything.
But, you know, part of what I saw, let's say, in talking to people in New York, is this. When you are in an environment where you reopen business and people are expected to turn up for work, and there are many people, I saw the story of a Haitian nursing assistant who died, I think it was on Thursday, died on the job. And in her case, I was told that another nurse said, you know, I can't work in this situation because they don't have the protective gear. What you're giving me is inadequate. And she went to the union and went off the job. This other lady said, look, she needed to work. So she worked.
Right.
And dropped dead. The belief was that she also contracted the COVID and stuff. Because the pressure to keep that job, the pressure to get that money, could also push people in a situation where they ignore sometimes the symptoms that they have.
Yeah.
They are sometimes in denial. And then they go into the community and it is spread. And then next thing you know, you have an explosion of these cases on your hands.
Yeah.
And that's part of the big issue for the health authorities is to avoid that explosion. You realize that?
You know, I understand that. But I think the person that are vulnerable, the elderly and the person that have underlying conditions, should be one that are the focus should be protecting them, not on keeping the whole public, you know, in lockdown.
But how do you protect them when other people have to come into contact with them?
Well,
the elderly have grandchildren
I agree. If you have grandchildren that live with you, I would think that your whole house would have to be isolated. But that should not affect the next door neighbor who does not have any elderly and does not have any underlying condition. But you put everybody locked, nothing is going to be done. I suppose this continues for months. Suppose next year they got COVID-21 or 2020, and then we don't know what's going to happen. So we got to respond in a way that's measured.
You know that the people in Taiwan and Singapore, they had SARS, and they handled this situation, and South Korea. And the point I'm making to you is, when you project to what could happen next year or the year after.
Yeah, this is an example.
We are now going through this to develop protocols just in case something like this happens again.
Right.
You know, and yes, there are people who accuse the government of bungling and that sort of thing. Fair enough. But you know, you haven't been there before. You got to try this. You have to test that. You have to see how the country responds, because the psychology of it and all needs to be taken into consideration, so that next time.
But don't forget the economic side. That's the thing that everybody not thinking.
The
about
economic that isn't true. Part of my assessment on this was that. Sorry.
I know not many people not thinking about it. It's being thought about, but it's not being worked upon in terms of any significant reopening. Because suppose we have 10 new cases next week and 20 next week, nobody's going to reopen anything. So then,
Would you recommend that they reopen with 10 cases next week?
I would recommend that the person that's very vulnerable. We were talking about how would you protect them. I was saying for
only the vulnerable.
Well, the ones that could, look, you might have had it, and not no, I might have had it. I had people that were.
Let me tell you something.
Before, go ahead.
Remember this about vulnerability. It isn't only because you are elderly, you know. You're not only vulnerable if you're elderly. You're vulnerable if you got a heart problem. You're vulnerable if you got diabetes. You're vulnerable if you got asthma. You're vulnerable if you got high blood pressure. Then how much of Barbados is vulnerable?
Actually, I was wondering that too. But I don't think it's not 100% for sure. So, but it's a difficult situation, but I still think that the number of recoveries are so vastly outweighed the number of persons that succumb to it, that to destroy the economy in hope of just saving, you know, a few people that may, you know, not be so fortunate. And I don't like to belittle them, because I mean, everybody's important, life for everyone's important, right? But still, you got to balance it, because...
I agree with you. I appreciate your point. And remember, this is a major discussion point, not only here, but in many countries of the world. You've seen what's happened in the United States with the president telling people to go and liberate certain communities. And, you know, there are business people who have been pushing for it. for it. Some have gotten that, like in Georgia. But then there are others who say, look, this is dangerous. We haven't passed the point where we can do this, especially the health professionals are telling us that. This is down to brass tacks.